Good afternoon, everyone, and good morning over there in Australia. I believe it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Is that right, Johnny?
It is. It is, Andy.
Well, the early bird gets the worm, as they say. Better you than me, I guess. you're building a great company over there, so I guess every hour of the day, you know, is really important as a founder to really get out there and build the business. Really, you know, and apparently you have a newborn now too, so it's two kind of full time jobs, if you ask me.
Well, I don't know which one is the full-time job. You know, do you finish work and then start work or the other way around? I mean, we're lucky she's sleeping through the night at the moment, so that kind of gives you a bit of a reprieve.
That's a great plus. So, so you're the CEO and the founder at PreviewMe. Could you potentially tell us more about what you guys do over there and you know, how your company helps others?
Sure. So PreviewMe is a video messaging platform for sales, customer development, and recruitment teams. And it's a place where our customers can come and create not just one, but a series of short videos, vignette style videos, into a branded link that they can share as part of their sales process. It's adding some much needed authenticity back into increasingly digital processes, helping with that human connection. And one of the things that is actually unique about the platform is the ability to request videos from third parties. And that's attributed to our recruitment roots, which we started out in, but we didn't retain due to COVID. So the ability to request video as well delivers huge returns when our customers are trying to hire for new staff, and it makes the platform extremely versatile.
Definitely. So where did you get the idea or inspiration to start this company?
It actually started out with my brother not being able to get a job out of university. So he came out of one of New Zealand's seven or eight universities. And like every other grad, he looks exactly the same on paper. They've all just they've all got their grades. They're all leaving at the same time in droves. But you know what makes him unique? His character, his charisma, his attitude. You can't document that on a page.
No.
So you know, 50, 60, 70 job applications later, you're a bit despondent. You're wondering where it all went wrong. There's nothing wrong. The process was wrong. Yep. So we went about exploring, well, how can a graduate out of university append a short video to their CV, and then went down the rabbit hole of ultimately building a video-based job board, which the market didn't want, but we can talk about that a little bit later on.
Well, hey, I've been there before too, you know, as an entrepreneur. Some stuff sticks, some stuff doesn't. And, you know, one of those is just the general norms at the time, maybe sometimes trending. What's trending, what's, you know, the timing is very important of things. So you could have the right idea, but sometimes people aren't ready for those ideas sometimes. So it's, you know, but it comes around full circle to what you do today, right? So you take all those lessons and everything with you and apply it to an entirely new business model here. And totally agree with you. Personalization is key, especially when it comes to onboarding and or even in your sales outreach efforts, right? Being able to connect with human beings in an automated world where everybody's used to getting all these cold emails all the time and just generally just very impersonal marketing outreach. So I guess, you know, how does video kind of play into that, you know, bringing back that level of personalization, both in terms of product education and onboarding, but also in sales outreach?
Sure. Unfortunately, the problem is actually the same no matter what the use case is, whether it's a candidate trying to make a more human connection to a recruiter, whether it's someone who's selling a product or service online to a stranger, whether it's customer success trying to humanize an onboarding process. If I'm chunking out, like maybe onboarding and product. So you look at onboarding and it does take time. It's a repeatable process and 90% of your customers will use the product or service in substantially the same way. So you look at the onboarding flow, not everyone will attend a virtual meeting. So you'll have to have two or three bites of the cherry to make sure that everyone is brought up to speed. It'll be spread out over a series of meetings. And then you'll get the follow-up questions. And 9 out of 10 of the follow-up questions will be exactly the same as the person you're about to onboard it, as the same as the person you've previously onboarded.
Yeah.
Park that for 1 second, then you look at product. Market problem with product is everything apparently has to be polished when it comes to using video. It just doesn't, in my opinion. And a lot of businesses out there are investing thousands and thousands of dollars on product walkthroughs and product updates, only for the UX to be updated, say, even days, weeks, or months later. And that forces an abandonment of the strategy to create short videos or the videos are constantly being updated and it's going to cost too much anyway to do that. So where I'm going with this is there are three opportunities to really effectively utilize video in both onboarding and the product walkthrough. One of them is using, it creates higher engagement. Humans are visual creatures. So If you have video over another content medium, which is static or over text, you're going to get bigger bang for your buck. And also it's going to be measurable, so you can track how long people are actually engaging with the content that you're creating. Secondly, from an onboarding perspective, you're going to get faster ramping. So the learning curve is going to kick off exponentially. And then obviously, if you create the videos and package them up and share them with your customer, they're going to be able to go back there and rely on them in some sort of playbook, which feeds into the third benefit of you're taking a massive load off your customer support team. You're generating that video, audio, visual playbook, and it's going to allow your customer support team to go and create the evergreen content around the onboarding, which can be shared with your customers. And then based on the questions that you get back, they'll be able to continue to refine the responses and actually continue to improve the quality of the onboarding.
Yeah, that's such a great point. So a lot of the videos that you use can be utilized in your FAQ. You could place them at the right points at the right time in the onboarding experience too, right? So you're not trying to tell everybody everything about your product in the first go. Maybe as they come to a new page to learn about it, there's like a little helpful video there to kind of describe that particular feature. So it's really broken down to bite-sized information. And I think, you know, what you're saying to me, and I totally agree with, is that, you know, humans are very visual, right? Nobody wants to read a bunch of text anymore. If they could kind of pair that with a voice, maybe text on screen with what they're looking at there in the video, showing the dashboard and how it actually works, it just better connects with people overall.
Yeah, I agree with that. The short form video is where it's at for any process. If you've got, and I mean, if we're going to be talking about, say, one tip I could give, it would be keep it short if you're creating video. If you are going to create a module for onboarding and you've got five stages, make five short videos. If you've got, you know, sub processes within those stages, even make shorter videos again. Because if you look at a video that's, say, a minute long and you think yourself that you wouldn't even click it to open it, then you can't expect a prospect or a customer to. Particularly, I mean, if you're looking at more like further up the funnel into the sale, further up the sales funnel, where you've got, say, a cold outreach, you're actually intruding on someone else's time. You've got to have a really compelling reason for them to want to click it in the first place. So the shorter the video, in my opinion, the better. And it keeps it really targeted and really pointed. Now, a short video for me would be, you know, 20 to 30 seconds.
Oh, wow. I was going to ask that actually.
Yeah. But at least the person is sitting there going, oh, should I give Johnny 20 seconds? Yeah, I can give Johnny 20 seconds. But, the, you know, the psychology behind, do I have 2:13 to hear what Johnny has to say? No, the answer is probably not. So I'm losing an opportunity there for someone to even click on my video yet. And they might be perfectly suited to what I'm trying to say. If it's onboarding or if it's a product review or if it's a product update, it might be very on point with what they need, but they're already contracting out because of the length of your video. So short videos, I believe, are the key, even if there are more of them in the link.
Yeah, time to value is so important, especially for new people just trying to get to understand your product, even if there's a need. And you know, what they think is, you know, you have the ability to be able to solve that problem for them. If you're putting up a bunch of work and friction right up front before people can even figure out if you're exactly the fit that they're looking for, you're just kind of killing your conversion rates there, because, you know, people don't want to go through a lot of effort, give you a lot of time, like you mentioned, to get towards that value point that they're really looking for. So, you know, a couple minute video is definitely a killer for the onboarding user experience. I guess, what other tips would you recommend for marketers on how to create videos that convert, both including onboarding videos and maybe even, you know, more sales oriented videos?
Well, truth be told, Andy, I'm not a marketer by trade, so I can't speak more to the process. But when it comes to creating video content generally, one of the things that we've seen is more polished content. I don't think videos need to be as polished as everyone makes them out to be. Particularly in the realm of onboarding. Yes, you can go out there and find someone that will quickly on Fiverr say do a product review, do a product walkthrough and do a polished screen recording. That's cool. But when it comes to say more marketing collateral, people want to see people behind a business. People sell. People transact with others. You look at LinkedIn when you're making, say, a connection out there on that network. sending out a text-based message versus sending out a short video introducing yourself, the power that that has. And again, it doesn't need to be polished. It can just be me sitting here going, hi, my name's Johnny. I'm from New Zealand. I've got a law background. I'm now a tech company founder. It's just, it breaks the ice in a completely different way, and it diffuses the perception that there's someone hiding behind a computer somewhere. So my advice would be, no matter how you're using video, keep it raw. Don't over polish it. Don't overthink it.
Yeah. And especially even with onboarding videos, we kind of went through that with Nacho Nacho as well too. You know, we're trying to get that perfect video, but then the UI would change again. It just keeps updating. So it's like, look, we're going to have to make these videos regularly. So, you know, let's just get some videos out there that kind of explain the core features. They're going to be like 90% of the way there, but you know, it'll do a good job of visually showcasing what we do and walking people through the product. Just having something there, especially for a startup. I mean, you could always get like more, you know, more team members behind it later and have somebody fully dedicated towards it if you need. But as a startup, you got to move fast and break things, right? So it's better to have some videos to kind of explain that your product and how it works, as opposed to trying to, you know, perfect is the enemy of good, as they say.
Perfect is also the enemy of speed.
Yep. Yeah. And speed, if you don't have speed, it kills your company, especially in the early days too.
Yeah, I think the challenge you're going to have is finding someone with the confidence to create the content, right?
Yeah.
And someone that's going, oh my gosh, you can't put that out there. It's not polished. Well, mm-hmm. You can. There's a million other people out there that will be very happy to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, like kind of like this, you know, like doing this raw conversation here. A lot of great tips are coming out of it, you know, for people tuning in and listening. But, you know, it's just kind of a fun conversation we're having. But, you're presenting a lot of great tips and tricks and all that. But, you know, this isn't like a super high production or anything. It's just two dudes talking about marketing tips. So.
No, exactly. And if one person takes away one thing, I mean, it's been a success.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And already a lot of great talking points on this, too. So we'll have a lot of good social content that comes out of this. But, I guess, where do you see video marketing evolving over the next few years?
Well, I think OpenAI and Sora has kind of told us what direction it is going in. The ease and ability for someone to just, with a hint of imagination or creativity, go in and say, I want X done with Y. I want penguin surfing down, you know, Broadway. I mean, I was amazed at that. So I do see AI playing a bigger role. I think the writer will be the disclaimers around how much AI is used to manipulate a video and entice someone to take an action that the video is wanting them to take. It's one thing for, say, Sora to go and create a really cool product video or something quirky to capture the attention. It's another thing to use a tool that will take one video, mimic my tonality and my facial features, my mouth, and turn one video with a few variables into 1,000 videos. Because at that point, the authenticity has just been absolutely killed off. But it does make it harder for everyone else who's out there trying to create an authentic video. So, you know, if you're the one that's taking the time to go and do your research on someone on LinkedIn to do that, just for example, an outreach, and they've already received 10 videos, of which 9 of them are, hi, Andy from Nacho Nacho. Mm-hmm. We think our product is going to be... You know, you're going to just think that, well, if 9 videos are already AI generated, then the 10th is. So the hard part is going to be, how do you tell your target whether that your video is authentic, is intended for them? There are more, there is a hyper-personalization in there that means you've gone and done the research. So where do I see video marketing evolving in the next year and beyond? I do see AI coming to the surface a lot more, but at the same time, it's going to create some challenges for people that are creating authentic content too. So maybe a bit of red tape.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, because a lot of times when tools like this come out, people might over rely on it and tend to overcompensate. It's like watching a bad movie with CGI. So just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. It's, you know, where's the story here, right? So you still see those movies all the time, but even same with AI too, right? Some of these tools make it so easy to put together a video, but you see a lot of like really, you know, social media channels, you know, YouTube alike are all getting flooded with all these new video content, but like, is it actually really engaging? Is it actually really interesting for people? It's, you know, a lot of it's really still low quality. So I think the real winners are going to use AI as a productivity tool to maybe do 80% of the lift, but without resorting to losing that the personalization, as you mentioned, you know, the human element of it, which is really what sells in the video, and just really actually clearly thinking through the content and what that video should actually have, and kind of working hand in hand with AI as more of a productivity tool to kind of speed up or enhance your editing skills for your video. But at the end of the day, you have to have good content. You have to tell a good story, and you have to try to pull out the person behind it as well too, as much as possible.
Well, I mean, the use of AI can actually supercharge imagination. So if you've got the germ of an idea, it can give you some more directions in which you can go on. It's then like, how do you peel that back and then actually make something authentic out of it?
Yep. And I guess, could you tell us more maybe about how Preview Me works? Like, say if I'm a new potential customer, what would I use Preview Me for, and how do I get started on your platform?
Sure. So it's a freemium subscription model. So anyone can sign up or sign in without having to pay, and also create and share a series of video links as part of the outreach process, as part of the onboarding process, product reviews. One of the best entry points that Preview Me has found into a business or into a professional's life is a video email signature. Sounds really simple, but you know, you look at your video, your email signature, and it's normally static. It's got an image of you. It's got contact details, or it's got a company brand. It is one of your most prized pieces of real estate that is heavily underutilized. So if you're coming into Preview Me for the first time and going, well, how can I see how video can improve the quality of my communications, or, you know, serve to have a passive sell in my day-to-day emails? You can go in and create a thing called a preview. So a short video, just introducing yourself. You don't need to go over the top and start selling the business in a video email signature. You're just letting a person know who's receiving an email. Hi, my name's Johnny. I'm a family man. I'm a normal dude. I like a pint. I'm into sport. You know, it's warming. It's human. So you can go into Preview Me, create the short video. We've got a native teleprompter and some basic editing tools, and then work through the process of just creating this link, which can then be embedded as an animated GIF into your email, and it can stay inside every single email. And you can update that at any time from Preview Me, and it will update it inside the email. Now, the same principle would apply for automated email marketing campaigns. You can share your introductions or short connection messages across LinkedIn. And importantly, you can create that evergreen content for bigger businesses that are doing onboarding or engaging with customers. You can create the evergreen content and share those out as links to your customers as well, or to your prospects, which are going to be your customers in the future. So there's a multitude of ways in which you can use the platform. Lastly, and again, without throwing everything, including the kitchen sink in there, but the roots do lie in recruitment. That was where we did start, and COVID made sure that we didn't exactly stay there as a key focus, but our recruitment roots are still sitting in there. And I think it's only a matter of time before the market dynamics start to shift back and form in favor of the employer. We're going to see more people out there applying for jobs. So it becomes a really handy tool to be able to slot the request for a short video from an applicant into the recruitment process. It gets more buy-in from them. And it also separates out the people that are just firing out a CV left, right, and center versus those that are genuinely interested in working for your company. So those are the ways in which you could use Preview Me. And it's super simple. Just click sign up and get going.
Yeah, I don't want to be just another resume in a list of 100s where they're just using keyword analysis automation to really see if they're even going to take a look at, have a human look at your resume anyway.
Absolutely. And it's a tough one because when we first started this, there would be thousands of people applying for a job, say an admin support role, like a communication based role, and the businesses would just get inundated with applications, and you've got to either sit through hours more interviews to try and get to the right person, or just take a punt that whoever's looking at the CV can spot a gem or spot a diamond. But the best way to spot one is to actually hear that person speak, see what their tonality is like, see the whites of their eyes, yeah, that's going to be hugely valuable going forward. And what sadly might be some rather tumultuous economic times.
It's looking that way. We'll see. I guess what would a good video like that look like? Would it be like a kind of a 5-second intro, like a general sales email, maybe not the recruiting ones, but would it just be like, hey, I'm Andy with Nacho Nacho. Looking forward to doing business with you. Some sort of like a high level intro like that.
If you're using it for, say, LinkedIn is a network where they care more about the person than the product. Okay. So connecting with people over LinkedIn, say you could have two. If you're going to go and do a deep dive into someone's profile and you want to connect with them and the connection is going to be a meaningful one, we'll operate on the assumption that person's going to get 50 messages a day. Even if they got 20. You know, they don't check LinkedIn for 5 days, they got 100 messages. So yeah, if they are going to take the time to quickly click through all of them, the one that has the animated GIF with the waving hand, the one that's like, ah, oh, hey, he looks all right, or she looks all right,
yeah,
let's click on the link. And in that, you would hyper-personalize. Andy, my name's Johnny. I'm just looking to connect with you. I see an opportunity for both Preview Me and Nacho Nacho to collaborate in the future. Mm-hmm. We specialize in video. We're a video messaging platform. We think that video messaging could actually be really useful for Nacho Nacho as part of your product reviews. I'd love to connect with you and open a conversation. That could be a really hyper-personalized one. Or you could have a generic connection request, which rule of thumb, generic connection request, always start with, hi, my name's Johnny. Otherwise, you're going to get yourself a bit tongue-tied later on. Hi, my name's Johnny. It's great to connect with you. I'm based in Australia. I'm a CEO and founder of a technology company. I'm a father. Going into your personal life a little bit in a professional context, I don't think is a crime. Because it's knowing that it's not actually just a hard sell.
Yeah.
There is a person there. And that is the part that is starting to slip.
Yep.
So
yeah, that's so people like to do business with people these days.
Yeah. So the advice would just be not a connection is really that you're breaking the ice.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a blend of personal and professional, but it doesn't need to be a sell.
Totally. And a lot of times if you're trying too hard to sell, it's so easy to read from people anyway. And they just, even if you have a valuable message, you know, a valuable product that actually solves their problem, a lot of people just kind of put you in a sales bucket, especially if you're invading their LinkedIn with a message. So the hyper-personalization or as close to it as you could possibly get is, you know, extremely important these days.
And the same goes for email inboxes. Email inboxes are crowded these days.
Oh, yeah.
And the hard thing is that you could go to all the trouble to make a video and bake it into your email.
Yeah.
But at that point, you've got to consider how catchy your subject line is. Mm-hmm. Are they going to click on it? Does it look like a sales message? So you've got some other problems that you've got to confront and deal with when it comes to email outreach. So LinkedIn, I would say, is actually a tool that lends itself to more to allowing video to actually make that more human connection rather than email.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree with you there. So I guess the failure comes with any profession. So we kind of mentioned earlier, like the early iteration of this company and kind of how you dabbled in video there and kind of where it's come to today. Can you tell us about any other times you failed and what you learned from it?
Yeah, I mean, the version one of this product is a really good example. We didn't build what we would consider the minimum remarkable product to test our assumptions on, fail fast and fail early. Because we didn't come from recruiting backgrounds. I mean, my brother was turned out to be an economist and now a tech owner, and I was a lawyer trying to get out of law. But we thought that we had to build, even going through an incubator, build everything to make it work, and we landed on a marketplace concept. So you kind of have to build everything, but the problem we were trying to solve just became diluted in this big, heavy thing. It had too many moving parts. And we tried to accommodate the wish of, say, every employer that we spoke to, thinking, well, they're the ones that are ultimately going to pay for this.
Yeah. But
really, back to what I said, and the problem actually started with, how can a candidate stand out?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was something as simple as, you know, the problem statement. You know, how can we help someone showcase their attitude, aptitude, and charisma? And all of a sudden it became, how can we create a marketplace where, for example, you can compete with Seek on steroids for video? And it just lost its way. So that was tough, because it was over a sustained period of time too. The lesson learned is just KISS. Keep it simple, stupid.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I've learned that the hard way myself too. And a lot of times you get that feature creep because you do get customers asking for it. It might be one person, but if you lose, you know, the mission and the focus on solving that customer problem, that's where this stuff kind of comes in from. You might have one person that cares about the feature, but 99 out of 100 other customers don't really care for this feature. So you just end up with this kind of monstrosity of features. The other one I've seen too is, you know, sometimes you get excited about building features and you just build features that don't really align to the core product mission and the core customer problem and how you're going to better suit and solve that for them or provide a better experience. So it's easy to get distracted there. But I mean, on the plus side though, you get to learn from that by doing it, and you get to, you know, that experience is intangible. You can't just necessarily read a book and say, oh, avoid doing this.
you've got to get a little hump where you've got enough of a product that people can actually, that are using it and willing to pay for it or already paying for it, and giving you the feedback that helps you just continue to like narrow your focus on improving the quality of the product for your existing customers, which should allow you to have a more marketable product too for new customers.
Totally. And it's, you could always add more to it, right? But you have to start with a strong foundation, right? So the concept of a MVP is so powerful. So minimal viable product kind of plays into the keep it simple, stupid, build the minimal viable product that solves that simple problem the customer has. And then once you really get that product market fit and, you know, people love your product, that audience that really trying to help, it's easier to kind of layer on more features to that because you have a better understanding of, you know, what people like about your product, who your real customer is. And then, you know, then they'll start even requesting the features, and you'll hear it from a lot of people too. You'll hear, you know, repeated conversations with customers where they ask for a particular feature, and that'll kind of help guide your product development going forward. But you won't get that unless you have like a strong, simple, focused foundation from the beginning.
Oh yeah, you absolutely won't get that. I agree with that.
So I guess, what other challenges did you guys face and how did you overcome them? Can you maybe tell me more about what it was like operating during COVID, building a tech startup, especially you probably had some people working with you from around the world on it as well too. So.
Well, it's obviously it was a tough time for everyone. I'm not going to beat the COVID drum, but we took our own medicine for the first week. We had a customer come back and say, you know, you built this big platform, but what you did really, really well was this. And the irony was that this was the thing that we actually wanted to solve. Yeah. So we went back to market with something simple, but instead of trying to dither-dather around the New Zealand's market, we just thought, stuff this. We'll go straight to the UK, bigger market, more opportunity, pounds. We had all every bias in there to justify us doing it. But what we found was, as time went on through COVID, the market dynamics changed. Mm-hmm. So we did have thousands of people out there actively looking for work where video could A, help one person stand out, or B, help an employer to add a stage in the process that would ensure that only people that are genuine about the job would be applying, and they would be able to meet more people through pre-recorded videos rather than have more meetings. The market went completely the other way. So it was even challenging for a business to find someone that was not suitable for the role just to fill the void that was left by someone that decided to up and leave their work. There was a mass exodus. It became a very candidate-led market. And obviously, if you're going to throw a stage into a process, you want to make sure that the market's on your side, and video for recruiters, it just wasn't. So the problem we faced is, again, we took this product back to market to solve a problem, but no one cared about the problem anymore.
Yeah. which is a little late or a little early or whatever. Just right in the sweet spot of nothingness.
Even if we went back to our roots and went to say grad recruitment, mm-hmm. you know, the graduate programs were being axed left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Companies were trimming down. They were, you know, hunkering down for the storm, and the storm came. But then out the other side of that, you've got, where you had 1,000 candidates applying for one job, you had 50 companies trying to find that one diamond. And, well, how are they going to do that?
Yeah.
How is someone who's not actually looking for a job but being hounded by 10 businesses that all look reasonable, you know, substantially the same, going to make a decision about the company? Well, the answer is video.
Yeah.
So how can a business then, you know, hero not just the job, but the team? How can they hero the culture? How can they hero their mission rather than just snap lines on a website? You plonk the CEO, plonk the hiring manager, plonk, you know, C-suite executives, the grads into a short video, talking and heroing the values of working in the business. And that was the move to be able to do that was actually really simple, because the product infrastructure was the same. We were just going and turning it from being focused on candidates creating videos to stand out to businesses being able to stand out. And then, you know, next challenge that we faced after that was, well, they couldn't create the videos fast enough to to catch up with the backlog of hiring. But the irony is that we were using Preview Me to sell Preview Me. So, you know, a business is saying, look, we don't have time to make videos to actually sell our business or sell the opportunities to a prospective candidate. But we like what you're doing in terms of using videos to sell your business to us. So can we use Preview Me to make a more human connection and sell our business to our customers? So that was like, you know, just fell into the sales, the marketing, the customer support space. We didn't go, you know, it's the grass isn't always greener on the other side. It's not always going to be fertile ground where you wind up.
Yeah.
But what we did know was that based on the timing of the product, recruitment through COVID was not sustainable. That we overcame them by pivoting. Not overhauling the product, by just reconfiguring how the product talked to a different market, into a different use case.
And which shows sometimes you have it all right there. It's just a small pivot or a small change, maybe a slight reposition, but you might have all the features already there, but it's just, you know, pitched slightly different or introduced slightly different, or maybe even targeted towards a different market of people. And it could have a profound effect with uptake for the product usage. So that's interesting that you guys pivoted there, and it's a, you know, great learning lesson as well.
And the pivot doesn't mean that we eradicate our recruitment roots. As I said before, it still sits there, tucked away for a rainy day.
Yeah,
for both parties.
Yeah, I see a lot of value in it. I love getting emails from you too, because every time I see your little video message in there, and I'm like, hey, it's Johnny. You know, your emails to me definitely stand out from all the other emails that I get too. And I'm trying to tell my team. Obviously, a small startup, we're trying to, you know, we have our hands in a lot of things, but I'm like, we need to get those videos in all of our emails, because Johnny's emails, when I get them, like, really stand out to me.
Yeah. I mean, as long as they're not distracting me from what I'm really trying to say to you.
Yeah. No, it does capture attention, right? And so I guess with that, I guess we're, you know, shortly running out of time here, but I'd love to, you know, have you pitch again and tell everybody listening today, tell us, you know, why they should choose Preview Me, and tell them what, you know, what you like to do to help their business grow today.
Well, without just treading over ground that we've just spoken about, the platform is an incredibly versatile messaging platform. There are a lot of tools out there that you can use that are very focused on either outbound or inbound, and Preview Me does serve both outbound and inbound video content really, really well. Inbound particularly for recruitment as well. So if you are a small team and you're looking for a one-stop shop where you can cater for all of your video needs, then Preview Me is definitely a place that you can come look. If you want to reach out to us or reach out to me directly, Andy, I'm sure that we can make my email available as part of this LinkedIn Live at the end, and so you can get in touch, and I can walk you through the product and the platform and identify where video in your business can also return the most bang for buck.
I'll make sure it gets you a personalized video to greet you as one of his new customers as well too. And so glad to have you guys on the platform as well, Johnny. Always great to chat with you too. And anybody interested in Preview Me, we definitely recommend you check it out. And Nacho Nacho's B2B SaaS marketplace. It's the best way to buy SaaS. You could grab it today for, I think it's 20% cash back. Wow, that's a great deal. So yes, definitely grab it today and start utilizing video, the power of video and personalization in your marketing efforts to increase your business growth today.
Fantastic.
Cool. Johnny, well, good to catch up with you as always, and always appreciate the chat.
Great to see you, Andy. Take care, mate. Thanks for this opportunity.
Likewise.
Nice to see you. Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, that's pretty good.